Amen. Hallelujah. If you're visiting with us today, welcome to The Pulse, and we're so glad that you're here, so glad that you're a part of what God is doing in Gassaway, West Virginia. This past week, I was not at this location. Thank you, Barb. You did a wonderful job. Let's give her a hand. She did a great job last week and for filling in for me, and I was at our second campus down in the lower part of Putnam County, which is doing well, and they celebrated their, you can't say they because it's we celebrated our second anniversary there, and I had the opportunity to bring the message. And I want to encourage you to, if you haven't liked the Facebook page for both locations, Winfield and Gassaway, I encourage you to like both of them. But then I also encourage you to go to the Winfield. I think I even shared it in Messenger with you. There's an 8-minute video about what God has been doing in Winfield. And I'm telling you what, I sat there, I had a hanky with me, which I'm glad I had a hanky with me, and Lindsay was right here, and Christy was on the other side, Ariana was beside of me. And I sat there, and I just wailed and wept in that handkerchief, listening to the stories about what God is doing at that location. And I hear in both locations what God is doing and how God is restoring relationships, how God is healing people that are physically sick, and God is helping people to overcome addiction and struggle. So let me tell you something. Be encouraged about what God is doing in Gassaway, West Virginia, and in Winfield, West Virginia. Amen. I am preaching a message to you that I preached last week in Winfield. I felt like that I needed to bring this message to Gassaway, but I've added some things to it for those that were with us last week. I don't want you to think that this is a rerun from last week, but this is absolutely something that I believe has just, God has just given me such revelation on this. But the title of the message is called The Evidence of Doubt. The title of it is called The Evidence of Doubt. And I want you to bear with me on some things here, because I'm going to teach you some things that's going to cause you to be free today. Anybody want to leave free today? Nobody wants to have shackles on them. Nobody wants to be bound today. There's many places within the Bible today where Jesus said to speak to things. Are you with me? Now, if you don't like your husband or if you don't like your wife, this scripture does not apply on getting rid of them. In Mark chapter 11, verses 23 and 24, it says this. It says, "For verily I say unto you, whatsoever shall you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe," "believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Jesus, in Mark 11, before he taught that, cursed a fig tree because it was all messed up. And can we ever say in our lives that we have been all messed up? Or the word today is all jacked up. Anybody can ever say, on my worst day, Jesus still loves me. Amen? On my worst day, he still cares about me. He never takes my picture down off of his refrigerator. Amen? He cares about us and he loves us on our worst day. Now, I'm encouraging you not to have worst days. I'm encouraging you to have great days. But he says within this scripture, because we have to speak things. Now, people in this world will think that you are crazy because you are confessing something that you do not have. But that is where faith comes in. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But we have to speak those things into existence. I am speaking this church to be full of people that are accepting Jesus, first-time converts, people coming into the kingdom of God, the road to Damascus to be full instead of empty. I am speaking those things. I am speaking this church to be debt-free. I am speaking the Fowler home to be debt-free. I am speaking that we are going to be healed, delivered, and set free in the name of Jesus. You have to confess these things because that's what the Word of God says. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, who is the whosoever, that is you and me, shall say unto the mountain. What is the mountain? The mountain is that obstacle that is in our life that is keeping us from the promised land. It's keeping us from going where we need to go. It's keeping us from the breakthrough. Anybody can testify that there's a mountain that stands in the way sometimes of the breakthrough. But the Bible tells you and me that we can remove. It doesn't say that God's going to remove, but it says that you shall remove. See, the thing about it is, it's already been done at the cross. It's already been sealed at the cross. God has already done it at the cross. Say unto your mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. That cancer be gone in Jesus' name. That depression be gone in Jesus' name. That self-harming be gone in Jesus' name. That addiction be gone in Jesus' name. And to be cast into the sea. But here are some stipulations of what you need to do within this scripture. And the key word is, and shall not doubt in your heart. You cannot be double-minded with this scripture. Are you with me? You cannot be double-minded with this scripture. You cannot believe it out of one side and not believe it out of this side. You got to be either all in or all out. And shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. I encourage you to use wisdom in the scripture. Use wisdom in the scripture. In verse 24 it says, therefore I say unto you that what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. Now be careful when you're praying, because you're the woman that you're in love with is married to another man. The man that you're married to is married to a different woman. You said, well, the scripture says whatsoever I desire in my heart. See, we have to have our desires in check. I remember one time reading one of the craziest barbed stories that I've ever heard in my life. That there was a woman that was praying to be married to Kenneth Copeland. Anybody know that story? To be married to Kenneth Copeland. And he was married to, is her name Gloria? Gloria Copeland. He was married to Gloria. Well, this lady believed that so much that she could have whatsoever she desired in her heart that she planned the wedding. No lie, look it up. She planned the wedding to marry Kenneth Copeland, who was married to a different woman, or married to Gloria. Well, obviously, for years, that has never happened, and they are still married to this day. I don't know either one of them, but I know that they're still married today. But see, we have to be careful not to be goofy with this scripture. Are you with me? We have to be so careful not to get goofy with this scripture, because we have to use wisdom. What you sometimes will have to do, most of the time, what you need to do is to pray for God's will, so that you will know how you should pray. Does that make sense? Use wisdom. Use wisdom. And God will help you. You also cannot let your mind limit this scripture. You cannot allow yourself to be double-minded within this scripture. You cannot allow yourself to be swayed one way or another. Because, see, what we will do in our lives is, I will believe God for the small things, but I will have to take care, because I have big shoulders, because you have an education, because you have money, because you have this, because you're good looking. I am going to take care of it, because I don't need God in the big things, only in the small things. Isn't that the biggest lie from hell you ever heard? But it's true. People are believing that they can do that God can only do the small things. We serve a mighty God who can take care of anything. He can heal cancer. He can heal anything that's wrong within your body. He can set you free. He can fix a blood disorder. He touches me when I say that. I don't know why, but he touches me. That must be for somebody. He can heal that blood disorder today because we serve a big God. I want to believe God for the small things, but yet I'm believing him for the big things. I have been accused of thinking too big within our churches. But you know why I think big is because I believe that God wants to do big things within my personal life. But he also wants to do big things in your life. And he wants to do big things in Braxton County. Let me tell you something. I was in Oceana, West Virginia on Friday. Wyoming County. Anybody know where it's at? I was in Madison. Anybody know where Madison is? Boone County. Jay Morgan, who came here on my birthday and did the, what was that called? The Freedom Encounter? Freedom Encounter. Did the Freedom Encounter, is from Oceana. That's where his church is. I have a dear pastor friend of mine that I also was able to stop by and see for a few minutes, Jim Butcher. He's been here, real tall guy, wrote a book, and a great guy. He pastors the Baptist church over in Madison, and it was like right on the way, and I thought, I could say hi to him. So 10, 15 minutes, I was able to say hi and just catch up with him. Braxton County, West Virginia, Gassaway, West Virginia. Let me tell you something. God is putting men and women of God in these little rundown towns, in these little towns that aren't that big, and he is bringing revival back to the towns in which these churches are. Let me tell you something. It is important that we're in Braxton County, because if it was not important to God, then I would not be here. It's important that we're here. And sometimes we may not think we're making headway, but let me tell you something. It's important. And one thing I encourage you is to do not talk bad about Braxton County. Let me tell you, because when you talk bad about Braxton County, you're counteracting the prayer of blessings that I've been praying for this town. So you walk in, you drive in Oceana, and you're thinking, all right, well, you know, it's like, what do people do around here? Well, I can tell you that there's a man of God named Jay Morgan that God called to Oceana, West Virginia. And guess what? God is moving in Oceana, West Virginia, just like he is in Boone County, just like he is in McDowell County, just like, there's revivals that are taking place, and I'm praying for revival in Braxton County, West Virginia. But let me tell you, you know how we get it? Through prayer. That's the only way. You can't bring in a good-looking speaker and a big old band and all this kind of stuff and say, all right, let's see if we can get somebody saved. A revival is not planned. And it'll mess up your whole life. I was in a revival at the Maranatha Fellowship with Pastor Wright. I don't know how many 80-some days it went. And they took the weekends off and somebody saved every night. I'm believing God for great things. I'm believing God for big things. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Now let me tell you something. Your confession is so important. Your confession can be like a cancer in your body. Are you with me? Your confession, how you confess, how you say things. Don't ever say, I'll never be able to afford it. Because you've sealed it right there. What are you talking about? Whatsoever you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you're going to have it. You know what? Because that means the good and the bad. If you say, my child will never come back to Jesus, or if you say, I'll never find a husband, or I'll never find a wife, or I'll never amount to this, or I'll never amount to that, then guess what? Get ready, because you won't. Whatsoever we speak. There's a group that we had here back when we first started called the Kingsmen. They were a Southern gospel group, and I love Southern gospel music. And they came in, and they sang, and they have a new album out, and I have it on iTunes. I downloaded it, and I like every song except for one. And it says, when you speak to your mountain and it doesn't move, just climb. I don't have to climb it. I don't have to climb it. You don't have to climb that mountain. Let me tell you something. Because we have authority through the blood of Calvary, through Jesus Christ, we have that authority. And let me tell you something. And when we tell the devil to move, he's got to move. When you tell the devil that you're done with the addiction and you rebuke it and you command it to go, guess what? It does not linger because you are a child of the Most High God. Come on, church. That's good preaching there. I don't know what you're thinking, but that's good preaching. Because what we have to do is we have to confess. But I will tell you this. We have the evidence of doubt all around us. Look at your life. Look at your life. You have the evidence of doubt. Tell me if that isn't a great title. I didn't name it. God gave it to me. But the evidence of doubt. You know, if you're living in poverty, that's the evidence of doubt. You say, well, you're being kind of bold here today. Let me tell you something. God does not want us to live in poverty. He doesn't want us to live in poverty. Let me tell you something. I've been with money and I've been without money. And I don't like it when I don't have money. Zig Ziglar made a comment one time. Anybody remember Zig Ziglar? Wonderful guy. I got to meet him one time and I heard him several different times. And they asked Zig Ziglar one time. They said, would you rather go through a circumstance in your life with money or without money? He said, I would rather go through any circumstances with money than without money. He said, well, now you're on the prosperity message. Well, let me tell you something. There's two things that I know about Jesus. Jesus had money and he liked to eat. He loved to eat. The only scripture that he ever pushed back from the table was for 40 days and nights when he was tempted in the wilderness. Other than that, there were feasts all over the place. That's why people followed him, because they knew they were going to get a meal. And he had money too, because he had a treasure. Doubt can cancel out your faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. John Sandy is going to be preaching a message real soon about this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. But yet, if we have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, and John's going to dissect that down for you on about the grain and how small that seed actually is and how much faith that we really need to move this stuff out of our life. The enemy has complicated it. Doubt can cancel out your faith. If you're speaking one thing out of your mouth and saying, I don't believe God can do it, and you're speaking something out of your head saying, I believe God can do it, it cancels out each other. You have got to get it in your spirit. Let me tell you something. You have got to encourage yourself. When nobody stands with you, you need to encourage yourself that you are an overcomer, that you are an overachiever, that you are the head and not the tail, you're the lender and not the borrower. Sometimes people will tell you, they'll say, oh, you'll never have it. You'll never believe for it. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus, because I believe, because I am a child of the Most High God, and I have rights. Glory to God. I don't know if you're happy. I'll preach myself happy. If you're not, you can sit there and take it in. But let me tell you something. The word your words can cancel out your miracle. It can cancel out your miracle. It can cancel out your life. It can cancel out the things. And let me tell you something. If you're going to cancel out what God wants to do in your life, I'll take it. Give it to me if you don't want the blessings of heaven. Do you really believe that, preacher, that God wants to bless me? Can you really say, preacher, that you believe that God wants to heal me? But if you go around saying, I'll never get healed, then what kind of God do you serve? Do you serve a little God or do you serve a big God? Let me tell you something. The little God can heal. The big God can heal. It doesn't matter what you think of him. He's still God. So what is your evidence of doubt? See, God set this thing up based on sowing and reaping. Every area of your life is touched by a seed, spiritually, physically, and financially. You have the opportunity to sow seeds of doubt and seeds of faith. You know who it's up to? It's up to you. You want to sow seeds of doubt? Look around. Do you have the evidence of doubt? You will have. Lindsay was walking through the house the other day, and she says, Dad, she says, have you ever read Malachi 3? I said, oh, yeah. Malachi 3, 8 through 12, says this. Look at your neighbor and say, hold on to your pocketbook. Because he's going to preach on money. I'm not sidestepping it. Let me tell you something. This kind of stuff people don't like talking about, but let me tell you something I like talking about because I believe it works. Malachi chapter 3, 8 through 12 says this. It says, will a man rob God? Yep. A man will rob God. Yet, ye have robbed me. But ye say, within have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings. Verse 9, now get this. Verse 9 says this. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now let's talk about this. Can I talk about this for just a minute? Like Ross Perot. Anybody remember Ross Perot, that little short guy from Texas that cost George Sr. the election? He was on Larry King Live one night. He said, Larry, can't I finish? Now let me tell you something. Let me finish telling you about this thing. Because if you're robbing God, let me tell you something. If you make $1,000 a week and you put a dollar in the plate, what is that? Somebody, I used to be a banker, but I'm going to class precipitation here. What's 10% of 1,000? Oh, I'm so glad you all got that. Okay, so if you make $1,000 a week, but you put in 50, but 10% is what? 100. Can I tell you today without you getting offended? And I don't think we need to call the police. But we have crooks that are in the house. What do you mean I'm a crook? I didn't say it. Is it on the screen? That's why you have the evidence of doubt in your finances. That's why you have the evidence of doubt in your life. That's why you never go on a vacation because you say you can't afford it. There's the problem. You say you can't afford it. We're believing God. And we're praying for Florida that they don't get hit and all the way up through there. Not because we have intentions, but we like to go right before Christmas to Florida. And we're praying, Christy and I are praying and believing God to take our whole family to Florida for a week before Christmas. We're hoping that we can. And you say, well, because I'm believing for it. I'm believing God to double bless me, to triple bless me. Because let me tell you something. If you don't want the blessing, I'll take it. Does anybody not want their blessing? Anybody don't want their blessing? Oh, okay, all right, let me get back to this. All right. I hope that I've made you uncomfortable and that you're looking at your shoes. Will a man rob God? Yes, in tithe and offerings will we rob God. Then he's telling you and he's telling me that if we do not give what God says to give, then we are cursed because we've robbed him. Does anybody see that different? Okay, so, man, I'm sweating. A 30-minute message is equivalent to an 8-hour workday. That's why I don't like to do nothing after church. Sometimes you just go home and sleep. People tell me that they can't afford to give because they have their house payment, their water bill, their this, their that, and all this kind of thing. I don't know about you, but I can't afford not to tithe. Are you with me? Here's what he says. He lays us out in 8 and 9 in the evidence of doubt. He lays us out in 8 and 9, calls us crooks, calls us robbers, and says that if we don't tithe, if we don't give, then we're cursed. Well, I don't know about you, but I didn't wake up this morning saying, man, I hope I'm cursed today. Say, no, I want to be blessed. Here's what he says in verse 10. I'm getting some opposition. I feel it, but I'm going to press through it here because I believe that you need to hear it. He says, bring ye all tithes, in verse 10, into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The simplicity of this scripture is so cool. What do you mean? The simplicity to this is saying this. Give and it shall be given. Give and you will be blessed. Be stingy with God and you will be cursed. When I'm just not in a financial situation to be able to give to God. That's like people telling me when they have children, they say, I can't afford to have kids. Well, guess what? You'll never have them. Because they're expensive. Now let me give you a scripture in the English Standard Version that I dug up because I love this. And this goes along with what I'm saying. Now understand something, that if you give, he says this. He says, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, but that you shall not be room enough to receive it. The English Standard Version of verse 10 says this. Bring the full tithe unto the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. I remember as a kid going to the cupboard of our house, and there was always something to eat, but we said, Mom, there's nothing to eat in the house. You didn't say that to my mom. You'd be eating lima beans. kale. Rebuke that in Jesus' name. Hominy. Let me tell you something. We did the Daniel fast first 21 days. First 21 days of January. And I know that you're praying. You say, oh, I pray that God doesn't speak to Pastor John to do it. Some of you all are going to rebel and you say, I ain't doing it. Say, I didn't get anything out of the last one. Andy lost 50 pounds and he only weighs 130. How much weight did you lose? You did what? 18 or 20 pounds. I felt so bad. He walked around with an IV bag with his arm up. I've got to get nutrition somewhere. And you try to be so creative. And you try to do this and you try to do this. What's that stuff that we ate, Christy, in the can? That it seemed like it was in everything that we had. What is it? Chickpeas? Them things are nasty. You can't season those things enough with nothing. They're horrible. That right there should keep you out of hell, because guess what? There's chickpeas in hell. Nastiest stuff. Thank God for hot dogs. The English Standard Version says, bring your full tithes to the storefront, that your house may be full. And therefore, listen to this, and thereby put me to the test. It's okay to put God to the test, because he's never failed a test. Says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing unto you, there will be no more need. That's what it says. There will be no more need. Give and it shall be given. Do you have the evidence of doubt in your life? Look around your stuff. Look around your stuff. What do you need God to do for you? And I'm not talking diamond rings and big cars and all this kind of stuff, but let me tell you something. God blesses people that are going to hell with big diamond rings and nice clothes all the time. Why can't God's people have it too? I remember my mom bought me, unbeknownst to my dad, a 1978 Volkswagen Rabbit. Do you remember those cars? It was blue. And I wasn't even able to drive yet, but Kathy, I think she was already married, and I think that she bought that car for me to fix up so that I can have something to drive. So every now and then, I could talk my mom in. It was a four-speed. My mom couldn't drive a standard very well. Well, let me say, she couldn't drive a standard at all. I think she even burned out the clutch. And I say, Mom, can we take the Rabbit today? I already had a license on it. Can we take the Rabbit today? Down the road we go. Whiplash in Charleston, West Virginia. She'd stall that thing out on Lee Street all the time, and there was traffic all the time on Lee and Collier Street, and she'd stall it out. Sometimes I'd have to get in it and drive it. Say, well, what are you talking about, a Volkswagen Rabbit, 1978 Volkswagen Rabbit? I'm going to be I'm treading ground here. Stay in the boat with me. Christy and I have been married 30 years. We do not have the same furniture that we had when we got married. We are not driving the same car that we had when we got married. We both have a different hairstyle. We're not living in the same apartment that we lived in when we first got married. $300 a month, three-room apartment in Canal City, right close to the Dunkin' Donut. It was heavenly. People that want to preach against prosperity, I want to ask them this question. Are you still driving the first car that you drove when you first got your license? Are you still wearing the same clothes, God forbid, that you wore when you were a child? No, we buy different things. We upgrade different things within our lives. Where do those things come from? Let me tell you something. I left banking 1 year ago this month. And I'm still driving, I'm still living, and I'm still tithing, and I'm still giving. And I give you praise. Because God's faithful. But I don't want you to miss the key word to verse 10. John, it just came to me. I've been tithing for years. I have a storehouse of blessings. Woo! God knows where my money is. It's His money. Just take a withdrawal. I've got a storehouse of blessings. But if I haven't tithed over the last 30 or 40 years that I've been saved, guess what? Then there's not going to be a storefront. And let me tell you something. You got the key to it, baby. Go in there and get you some. It's in your name. Like people say, it's in my checkings account. It's in there. I just thought of that. That just came to me. Bring your tithes unto the storehouse. Guess what? Your storehouse. You have a storehouse. And let me tell you something. God is a God that wants to bless you with your own money. Some of you are sitting there like a bump on a log. There's a frog on the wart, on the knot, on a log, in the hole, in the bottom of the sea. Let me tell you something. If you don't want it, I'll take it. I tell you, that'll make you shout. Glory! Hallelujah! God knows where every bit of tithe that I've given all my life is. Let me tell you something. If you're holding on for something, let me tell you something. It may be time for you to cash in. It may be time for you to cash in because guess what? It's yours! But we don't teach that today. We want to teach that as long as I'm doing better than anybody else, then I won't get jealous and I'll be fine. But let me tell you something. I don't want to just be fine. You know what? I love the fact is that this church listens to other preachers and goes through other workbooks and different things. But one thing that I'm excited about, that God's bringing people into this church that are going to listen to our workbook. I mean, read our workbooks and read our sermons and listen to our sermons and that kind of thing. Because let me tell you something. God is raising up an army in Braxton County, and it starts with a pulse. Hallelujah. And there's other churches that can be involved in it. But let me tell you something. There's other churches that think we're just plumb nuts. Because I'm preaching the Bible. That you have no more need. That there's no more need. And here's the neatest scripture out of it all. He says, and I will. Let me say this before anything that Jesus rebuked in the Bible was demonic. Anything that he rebuked the storm, he rebuked the foul demon, he rebuked this. Anything that he rebuked was demonic. Now understand something within this scripture. I believe this. Now you may think different, but let me tell you something. I believe poverty and lack is demonic. I don't believe that God's in it at all. And I will rebuke the devourer, he says. Verse 11, put it up there on the screen. Thank you, Jacob. It says this. It says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. For your sake. Not for your mama's sake or your daddy's sake. He said, I'll rebuke it for your sake. Because you're giving. Because you're faithful. You're not robbing me. I am blessing you because you're being obedient. See, the key to not being in the evidence of doubt is to be obedient. Church, I'm preaching. You ought to be on your feet shouting and running around this church for what God is doing. Well, yeah, that's nice. The operatic clap. Pastor Wright says he's so precious. When I know that I have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on my side, look out, devil. Look out, devil. Let me tell you something. When my feet hit the floor, honey, I'm telling you what, I don't have to say, good grief, it's morning. I say, good Lord, it's morning. What am I going to be able to rebuke today? What am I going to be able to do to the spirit of darkness today? What am I going to be able to do to help shut the kingdom of darkness down and for God to get glory and honor? Let me tell you something. That's the way you need to wake up. Let me tell you, I don't have blue Mondays. I don't have bad Mondays. I don't have bad days. There may be days that I struggle worse than others, but let me tell you something. I don't have bad days because my God is in charge of that day. And I rebuke the devourer in Jesus for your sake. Not for his sake. God don't need your money. He don't need your money. He don't need your stuff. You brag all day about the stuff you own. Let me tell you something. You don't own nothing. You don't own nothing. Let me tell you something. I've never preached many funerals. Young kids. I've preached old people. I've preached funerals. And let me tell you something. I have never seen one of them pull in a U-Haul. You go in like you come out. Physically. I'm telling you, when I get to heaven, there's a crown of life that's waiting there for me, and it's full of jewels. And let me tell you something. This thing down here is not in vain. And let me tell you something. I believe that God, let me tell you something. People want to get all this kind of riches and all this kind of stuff down here on earth. Let me tell you something. I'd rather pile it up in heaven. I'd rather pile it up in heaven. You know why? Because I'm going to spend more time in heaven than I'm ever going to spend on this earth. And let me tell you something. He's got a mansion for me. He's got a mansion for you. Let me tell you something. We're going to walk down a street of gold. Do you think God doesn't own it all? Satan don't own nothing. Glory to God. The devil went to God and he said, I believe I can make man better than you. He said, I believe I can do a better job than what you ever did. Shoot, you even had to quit and start over again. Satan reaches down and he takes a handful of dirt. And God looks at him. He says, no, no, no. He says, you get your own dirt. That's my dirt. God owns it all. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Let me tell you something. You got to get that in your spirit. Let me tell you something, because there is too much evidence of doubt running around in this county. And people, let me tell you something. We shouldn't have to give away food. We shouldn't have to do this. We shouldn't have to do that. You say, well, why? Because, you know, people just, they don't get the revelation that they don't have to live that way. Yeah, people can struggle. People can go through it. We've been there. But when you get to revelation, honey, that's what I'm asking you to do, is get to revelation, because he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He said, I'm going to do it for you. Let me tell you something. Lord, help me the next time that somebody comes up to me and says they're fighting in a battle, a spiritual battle. You're fighting in a spiritual battle. I'm going to fight to the very end. I'm going to fight to this. Well, let me tell you something. You don't have to fight. It's not your battle. It's God's battle. He's already won your battle. All you got to do is be on the offense. You don't have to fight your battles. The Word of God says it. I mean, you don't have to fight the battle. The battle is not yours. David said that when he went up against Goliath. He said, the battle's not mine, saith the Lord. How can you fight and play at the same time? You don't have to fight the battle. The battle's already won at Calvary. All you got to be is obedient and steadfast and press through. Let me tell you something. I got to tell you that I remember the day that our daughter did some things that I wasn't happy with. And let me tell you something. I just felt like that I had lost her forever. And let me tell you, I thought she had turned her back on God and that she was never coming back. And that anointed voice of hers, let me tell you something, can bring heaven down. And let me tell you, the devil knew it. And let me tell you, all I did was stand in the gap. And I stood in the gap. And Christy stood in the gap. And I tell you what, lit a fire. And guess what? Our daughter is just fine. And God has set her free. And God has done great things, and that girl can sing. And let me tell you something, when she sings, the yoke of bondage is broken. You know why? Because she's not bound. God answered my prayer, and he answered Christy's prayer, and he answered a lot of your all's prayers. And I remember driving to Arnoldsburg, West Virginia. You all know where it is. I was driving on there, and I heard the Spirit of the Lord said, it's over. I heard him tell me the battle was over. Let me tell you something. You all that don't have kids, you don't know what it's like. But let me tell you something. If you have kids, I mean, I tell you, you'll die for your kids. You will die for your kids. You will stand in right there and let them pull the trigger. You will let them live versus you dying. The battle's not mine. Let me tell you why. Because I remember going to an altar back when our children were little. You dress them up in a real pretty outfit, and the preacher comes up front, and I've done it, and you've been there, and we dedicate that child to Jesus. Do you know what? When my kids were out running around, I went to bed. You say, you mean you didn't sit up and wring your hands and worry about them while they were out running around? No. I went to bed. And I slept. You say, well, what kind of dad are you? I gave my children back to Jesus. Good Lord, if I can't trust my salvation with him, and if I can't trust my children with him, I never worry about them like that. I I got a word, Cynthia. Jonathan's coming back. Anointed, coming back. Jonathan, come home. Come back to Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I call you back. I rebuke the devourer in your life. I rebuke the confusion in Jesus' name. I don't do that, church. Coming back. Rest. Cynthia, rest in that. I believe it's a word from heaven. Does it bear witness? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I do not want to have the evidence of doubt in my life. I don't want you all to see the evidence of doubt in my life. Cast the mountain of doubt into the sea and plant your faith in a field that is ready for harvest. Do you believe God can deliver you? That's a yes or no question. Do you believe God can heal you? Do you believe God can set you free from addiction? Do you believe that? But some of you probably think, but will he? He already did. He already healed you. He already delivered you. You have a picture of a cross, Jacob, up there? Nothing? He did it at the cross. You just got to get the revelation. You just got to get the revelation. I got the revelation today that I have a storefront. I've skipped over that I don't know how many times. I've got a house that's stored. It's a storehouse. And it's got a better return than the stock market that a CD at the bank could pay you. God, I want to cash it in. In Jesus' name. So what are you believing for? Let me ask you this. What are you doubting for? Let me give you that one first. What are you doubting for? Not saying, you know, that you're... What are you doubting about? What are you doubting for? And then let me ask you something. What are you believing for? What are you believing for? And what you have to change is what you're doubting about. Change that to what you're believing about. When Christy and I got married, this was back in 1989. Some of you all were here and some of you weren't. 1989. I was making huge money in 1989. I was making $5.50 an hour. I thought I had arrived. as program director of a Christian radio station, 1,000-watt radio station, that you couldn't hear down the street. And Christy and I added up, and she was working for a radio station too. John Sandy made big money in radio too, didn't you? Big bucks. And we added up how much money that we would make in a month. And the numbers didn't jive. There was more month at the end of the money. I feel really embarrassed that I'm sweating, but I can't help it. And God has been faithful. Now let me tell you something. There's been times I didn't know where it was going to come from. And there were times that I could have used the tithe to pay the bill. But I tithed, and the bill still got paid. What do you believe in God for? What are you doubting for? Let's help each other. Let's help each other. Let's help each other. God wants you to not have the evidence of doubt, but the evidence of faith. Think about that. The evidence of faith. Our daughter doesn't make very much money. She does Instacart and DoorDash and all that kind of stuff just like I do. But let me tell you something. Every morning I hear this ding on my phone. And I'm thinking, well, what was that ding? She tithes electronically. She tithes electronically. Whatever she made the day before, she tithes electronically. Three different ways you can give. Smart giving, you can give in the offering. We don't have dumb giving, but we have smart giving. And you can give on the website through PayPal. Our accountant told me last week that we needed $1,900 to hit budget for the week. Our electric bill here last month was $819. I don't normally announce when I'm gone because you think that it's your opportunity to stay home or to go somewhere else. There were 30 people here last Sunday morning. The offering was over $1,900. Last year, we were ready. We were trying to figure out what bills to pay, what bills that we didn't pay, so that we could keep this thing afloat. That morning, I was ready to shut the lights off and walk away. There was an offering of over $10,000 that morning. That's why I know that God wants us here. He's tried to, the devil's tried to tell me many times, get out of here, because no, he's not going to do anything. No. These lights are on. And this place is cool because of Jesus. And because of you. Because you give. You're saying, well, preacher, are you preaching this because you want a bonus? I make a very small salary here. I don't make huge money here. I don't make huge money here. Are you trying to get a bonus? You need new tires for your car? No, I bought them myself. What are you trying to, what are you after here? What are you digging for? I want you to have the evidence of faith. What is evidence? Something you could see. Something you could feel. The evidence of things not seen. The altar is open for you to crucify your doubt. See, there's nothing good in the flesh. I'm trying to hurry. There's nothing good in the flesh. There's nothing that says in the Bible that there's anything good about your flesh. Everything in the flesh, it says it needs to be crucified. See, we need to crucify this doubt. We need to deal with it. We need to deal with the addiction. We need to deal with the struggle. We need to deal with whatever we're dealing with. We need to get rid of it. And we need to crucify it. I want everything that God wants me to have. I don't want to limit myself. And I don't want you to be limited. I'm not after your pocketbook. God wants your heart. And if God has your heart, then He's got your pocketbook. Stand to your feet. Jesus, I've preached it the best I know how. And I know you're working on the evidence of doubt in me, and I want to turn that to the evidence of faith. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you do something in this altar service. People are believing for big things, but they're not too big for you. We're believing for total debt reduction. That this church, that the school, that our homes are paid for. In the name of Jesus. Church, my accountant looked at me across the table one time and he said, your money does not come from your employer. It comes from God. Now, it's good that God blesses us with jobs. But you can't believe for your employer to meet your every need. It's God. Examine in your mind right now, what evidence of doubt do you have? What evidence of faith do you have? And what needs to switch? It may be your attitude. Your attitude may be terrible, and you're a Christian, and you talk like a sinner. You believe like a sinner. Evidence of doubt. I believe God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. That's evidence of faith. Whatsoever you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you'll have it. What do you need to confess? What do you need to believe God for? The altar is open.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind.
You be stingy with God, He'll be stingy with you. I don't want any curses on me.
I have what you need.
I want to be blessed. The altar's open. You want to come and pray? Ask God to help you.
I've done all the work, but you keep on working.
Jesus.
When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well.
Hallelujah.
You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, you just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who thirst will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind,
Jesus,
and come to the well.
Hallelujah.
Come as you are, when your last prayer is spoken.
Believe in Jesus.
Just rest in my arms a while. You'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. It's all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. We'll try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well.
Manifestation. Hallelujah.
Leave it all behind. The world will try. That you're full of love beyond measure. Your
joy full?
Is gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see the living water is found in me. Cause you come to the well. Yeah. It's all who thirst will thirst no. All who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind.
Your pursuit of a
leave it all behind.
Can you leave it behind?
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind.
Glory to God. Amen. Give me a little bit of house lights there, Andy. Before we go, I think one of the things that is so important is that people know what God is doing in your life. And this is the time before we go where we say, hey, I want to give God a testimony. I want to share a testimony of what God has done in my life this week. Anybody at all? Now, don't mention the devil, because we don't want to give him any credit for nothing. But anybody have a testimony that they want to share about what God has done with them this week? Anybody at all? What God has done this week. Whoever's next, get ready.
I just want to tell you all, we have our Wednesday Bible group, a small group at John and Christy's house. This Wednesday, we decided not to do that, and we went to see the movie Overcomer.
Yes, you need to go see it. Wonderful movie.
And I hope Brady doesn't get upset, but he cried the whole movie. and what tears he wasn't crying. I'm sure that Christy was crying, and John and Cynthia were crying, and Les and Sandy were crying. It was such a touching movie.
Yes.
And you go out and you feel different.
Amen.
I mean, you really feel different. And if you have a chance to go see this movie, please go see it, because it will truly bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kathy. Anybody else? Anybody else? What's God doing? Anybody else? Anybody else? It's open mic night. Here we go. What's God doing? Anybody want to have a testimony? God's faithful, is he not? I don't want to walk in defeat. I'll just tell you, I refuse to walk in defeat. If you walk in defeat, it's because you chose to. You say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't know what you're going through. But you may not know what I'm going through, and I choose not to walk in defeat. I choose to walk in victory. It's a choice. It's a choice whether you walk in victory or walk in defeat. Father, we love you today. What a service of what you've done here today. And Father, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name for miracles for Braxton County. Miracles for Gasaway. Miracles for the Pulse locations. The people will be healed and delivered and set free in the name of Jesus. We're believing, God, for great things. And we worship you, Lord. We praise you. And we thank you, because it is in the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. I pray you have a great week. Don't forget Bible studies. There's two small groups. You can catch up on Facebook. All the announcements are there. Thank you all. Pennsylvania, right? Thank you all for being. Heard about us all the way from Pennsylvania and come down to be with us. And that's something.